voted to legalize the sale of beer and wine within that precinct. That election was never contested, and as a result, the sale of beer and wine has been legal in Precinct 2 since that time. That is the local option status that has been in effect since 2005. And under 501.155 of the election code, that election, not having been contested, is conclusively presumed to be valid and binding in all respects. Now, in 2009, the voters in that same precinct sought to change their local option status to allow the sale of mixed beverages as well. According to the Alcoholic Beverages Code, Section 251.80, therefore, that election had to take place in the same area that put the prior local option status, namely the sale of beer and wine, into effect in 2005. And that's what happened. This time, however, in 2009, within the 30-day period for contesting the election, Mr. Gibson filed a contest and said that you're using the wrong boundaries for your justice precinct. You can't use the precinct boundaries that they are currently constituted for Precinct 2. You must instead use the historical precinct boundaries because Precinct 2 now encompasses part of what used to be Precinct 3 and Precinct 6, and those areas had voted dry. As a result, it is clear that in order to invalidate the 2009 election, which is where Mr. Gibson wants to go, he has to go through or around or over in some way, shape, or form the 2005 election that put into effect the local option status that currently exists in Precinct 2. And Mr. Gibson, frankly, tries to do all three on this appeal. First, he tries to go essentially straight through the 2005 election, although he professes that he's not attacking the validity of that election at all. Throughout the brief, at least four or five times on the first page in the introduction, he says that's an illegal election, that it shouldn't be given any effect because it was illegal. The problem with that is the Texas case law has long held that in order to contest an election, you have to do it directly within 30 days. You can't do it collaterally later on in connection with some other proceeding, which is what Mr. Gibson is doing here. That's been the law in Texas for quite some time. It's been recognized by a number of cases. It's recognized by the Kimmins case from this court, the Yoakum case we've cited in our brief, the Rosano, Yoakum from the Texas Supreme Court, Rosano from the Houston Court of Appeals. All these cases say it's a jurisdictional prerequisite that you file an election contest and it cannot be waived. That's just the general contest provisions, however. In this case, as it relates to local option elections, we have a second statute, which I've already mentioned, Section 501.155, which says specifically for local option elections, it says two things actually that are of import here. First, subsection B says that if there's a contest of the local option election, the results of that are final for all purposes, and no one may question the validity of that in any other proceeding in any court. Second, in C, which is the one that's directly relevant here, it says if there is no contest filed, then it is conclusively presumed that the election is valid and binding, and to quote, in all respects, on all courts. That's what we're faced with here. And the argument from Mr. Gibson that we can just ignore that and say that the 2005 election was, in fact, illegal simply flies in the face of that. Now, Mr. Gibson has cited in his brief a case called Patton from the 1950s, and he says, well, that shows that you don't have to file an election contest because this was a invalid or void election in 2005. Well, Patton is not applicable here. Patton was one of those cases where somebody was trying to get a license to sell alcoholic beverages, and the question was whether or not it was properly denied based on what is the status in the area where he wants to sell it. And what had happened in Patton was that there was no election in a justice precinct. The commissioners in that case had tried to hold an election in a portion of a justice precinct, certain ballot boxes, and not in a precinct or a city or a county as the Constitution authorizes. And the court there said, you can't do that. If you could do that, you could take it down to lot and block and say, we're going to hold an election for Joe's Bar and Grill, and you just simply cannot do that. And the court said, it doesn't matter if there was no election contest filed in that case, because there's no authority for that kind of election at all. Nobody could call that, which we don't have here. Here, we did call an election in a justice precinct. The complaint is that you got the boundaries wrong, but there was a authorized justice precinct level election. And interestingly, even in Patton, that was only a 2-1 decision. One of the justices said, there was no election contest filed, we may still have to do it. And frankly, this court's leading case on it is still Kimmins. And Kimmins says, if you didn't file the election contest at the time, you're out of luck. And it doesn't matter what the basis was. Basically, you're challenging that election. In Kimmins, it was a question of what they were challenging directly was the annexation of property. But in order to get there, like the plaintiff faces here, they had to go back and say, City of Azle was not a home rule city. And they said it wasn't a home rule city because when you had that election several years before, there wasn't 5,000 inhabitants as the Constitution requires. So they were raising a constitutional challenge to the validity of that election, and this court said that doesn't matter. There was no election contest filed back when the home rule charter election was held. So those cases are what's controlling here. Now, the plaintiff also tries to say, well, even if this court doesn't hold the 2005 election illegal, it's just irrelevant. Ignore it. It doesn't have anything to do with this because you still got to go back behind it to the other old statuses of the old precincts. Well, that would render the election code provisions and the alcoholic beverages code provisions meaningless. If 501-155 means anything, it means that the local option status for the sale of beer and wine was legally put into effect in 2005. We can't just pretend, as Mr. Gibson would have you do, that it's not out there. It is the local option status in Precinct 2 now. And following from that point then, you get to 251.80 of the Alcoholic Beverages Code, which is what the plaintiff constantly cites, which says, okay, now if you want to change that, that's the local option status that's been legally put into effect, and in order to change it, because those precinct boundaries haven't changed, you need to hold it right there in Precinct 2, which is what happened in 2009. Finally, the plaintiff tries to hop over the 2005 election, saying the 501-155 conflicts with the Alcoholic Beverages Code, and the Alcoholic Beverages Code should therefore control. It trumps 501-155. Well, that's simply not right either. Number one, there's no conflict. You have to read those statutes in harmony. One of them says these are the procedures you go through to properly hold an election. The other one is 501-155C, which says there's contest provisions if you didn't hold it correctly, and if you don't contest it, then you're out of luck. It's a statute of limitations or a statute of repose. And just like any statute of repose, it does not conflict with the underlying substantive right. It simply says that here are your remedies if that right was violated. If Mr. Gibson had brought a contest in 2005, it would be a very different case. Now, I don't know. There's still a lot of issues that would be out there after that about what lines you use, because there's been a slew of local option elections in this area even before 2005. But all that's beside the point for present purposes, because the 2005 election put that local option status into effect, and now the plaintiff would have to deal with it. I see my time is up, and I will rest on the disqualification issue on our briefs. Thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you.
May it please the court. My name is Claire Yancey, and I'm an assistant district attorney here on behalf of appellants Mary Horn, Hugh Coleman, Ron Marchant, Bobby Mitchell, and Andy Eads in their capacities as the Denton County Commissioner's Court. This case is very simple. The people in Justice Precinct 2 that voted to sell beer and wine on November 8, 2005 are the same people that voted to sell all alcoholic beverages, including mixed beverages, on May 9, 2009. Denton County needs certainty and finality with its elections. This election contest not only calls into question the May 9, 2009 local option election, but it jeopardizes the integrity of essentially every local option election held in Denton County over the past 125 years. Based on the plain language of Section 251.80 of the Texas Alcoholic Beverage Code, Denton County had no choice but to hold the May 9, 2009 local option election in the same identical boundary lines as those used on November 8, 2005. The November 8, 2005 local option election has not been contested or challenged, and despite Appley's 15 allegations of illegality, that election is valid and binding in all respects on all courts, including this court, as called for in Texas Election Code 501-155. This case has a very unique fact scenario that has not been addressed by previous cases. I invite you to turn to Appendix Q of Denton County's appellant brief. This is a map depicting the various local option elections held in Denton County along the eastern region. Each of these elections is valid and binding in all respects. Alcoholic Beverage Code 251.80 says whenever a local option status is once legally put into effect, that phrase is important, once legally put into effect, Election Code 233.006 provides that you must file an election contest by the 30th day. Election Code 501-155 states that if an election contest is not timely instituted, it is conclusively presumed that that election is valid and binding in all respects on all courts. Denton County cannot move forward and hold any future local option elections until it has had some direction from the court as to which boundary lines to use. Denton County asks that you reverse the lower court and find that the May 9, 2009 local option election is valid. If the court does not have any more questions, I will sit down. Thank you very much.
Can I give the justice a document? It's in the brief. And it's also in the record.
Yes, that's a graphic. That's fine. Thank you.
Thank you.
May it please the court, this is a voter disenfranchisement case. The 2009 election was not held in the original precinct, excluding voting and the voters who reside in that original precinct, all of which was in violation of the Constitution. No, the voters who lived in the original precinct today did not get a chance to vote.
That's what I'm saying. The people that voted in 1890-something, you know, however they voted, they weren't disenfranchised because they're no longer extant.
That's accurate. Those people are not alive. Okay. But those who live in the original precinct, which is what the Constitution requires, Article 16, Section 20C says, if you're going to change the voting status, you have to go back to the original precinct and let those voters vote. Otherwise, you disenfranchise those voters. For example, on this map.
That would apply equally. The argument you just made applies equally to the 2005 voters.
No, it does not.
How does it not? The 2005 voters that voted for Wett would be disenfranchised if the voting district is now changed.
No. The issue here is that in the 2005, Mr. Gibson does not have the authority to attack that election. He did not file an election contest. He didn't even live there in 2005. He didn't have the authority to do that.
Well, then then how is it not binding?
It's not binding. It may be binding in terms of the practical effect of being able to sell beer and wine. It is not binding on where you have an election to change the status, because the Constitution, 251-80, and the case law says you've got to start with where the original precinct is located to change it. For example, in Davis, which is a 2008 Supreme Court case, the Supreme Court said the statute explicitly requires, this is interpreting 251-80, the statute explicitly requires a vote in the territory constituting the original precinct, and an election in this case in precinct 3 would not change old precincts 2 and 3 from dry to wet. The Supreme Court is telling you exactly what it's telling you here. The original precinct was the voting in 1894 and 1901. If you looked at the map, at the top end of that map, the purple area was in old precinct, I think it was 3. The yellow was in 6, or vice versa. Those areas had have voters constitute part of the original precinct.
So are you saying across all of Texas, we have to go back to the original precincts formed after the initial Texas Constitution in order to determine the proper local option?
I'm saying Article 251-80, which embodies the Constitution and the case law, exactly says that. It says if you want to change the status, you have to go back to the original precinct to change that status. 251, for example, was asked whether it was constitutional in 1990. This was after Patton, which I want to talk about in a moment, and also before Davis, which reaffirmed Patton, Hutchins, and those other cases, as well as interpreting 251-80. In 251-80, the Attorney General was asked to determine, is this statute constitutional given the Article 16, Section 20C? The AG said in 1990 that 251-80 codifies longstanding judicial interpretation that subsequent elections must be held in the territory as originally comprised. And then it says that conclusion by the AG is supported by the legislative intent. The legislative intent, which was attached to the statute, said this substitute, which was a substitute to the bill, clarifies the underlying principle of local option elections in that in order to reverse the status of a justice precinct, only the voters residing in the original territory should be entitled to vote on the change of status. In 2009, the original voters of the original precinct, I'm sorry, the original precinct voters did not vote on that. Only the voters in Precinct 2.
But as Justice McCoy said, isn't that the doing of a useless act, because the voters that voted in the precincts that you're urging are no longer alive? The precincts in 1901 and 1884, old precincts 3 and 6, those voters are not alive.
I agree that the voters in the original precinct that lived in 1894 and 1901, when that status was created, are dead. The Constitution is not saying that. The Supreme Court doesn't say that. It says that you have to go back to the original precinct lines. In fact, 251-80 says, look, if you can't find the precinct, that legislation allows the county to approximate it, to say if you can't find it, exactly approximate it. And both the county and Mr. Gibson was able to approximate where those were.
Election occurred, there was no challenge, that challenge is waived, it's established as to beer and wine, and that's now being changed. And the territory that was in effect then is the territory that we have in 2009, and that's what's being changed.
Because the Code of Construction Act requires you to construe 251-80 in a constitutional manner.
Okay,
it's clear that the constitutional way you do that is you go back to the original precinct. The voters in the original precinct, that
how
is those
that
who...
Clear?
Sir?
How is that clear? It says that comprise the precinct when such status was established, and the present status is beer and wine only. We're going to change beer and wine only. So do the voters want to expand that or not? And they said, yes, we want to expand it.
Well...
So what...
Because I'm going back to Article 16, Section 20C, the case law, Houchins, Coker, Davis, all of which say if you're going to change that status, you have to go back to the original precinct. The voters of the original precinct in 2005 did not vote on that. They didn't vote on it in 2009. The law requires that you go back and vote on that. The 2005 election, while it prohibits my guy, Mr. Gibson, from complaining about it, it may be effective that it's what beer and wine. But if you want to change the status again, the Constitution says you got to go back to the original precinct. The original precinct voters never voted.
Excuse me, sir. Am I reading the right section of the Constitution if I read Article 16, Section 20?
I don't know.
Well, that's the one.
Oh, that is the section, yes, sir. 20C.
If I'm reading that, it doesn't say anything in there except that the legislature is going to be authorized to set forth statutes that's going to allow a majority vote of those voting to determine from time to time whether we're going to have a sale of intoxicating liquors. It doesn't say anything about the very same voters in the very same area to vote dry.
I acknowledge that Section B does not say that.
All right. So Section, the Constitution doesn't say what you're saying. It's the statutes.
No, sir.
Article 251.80 that you're relying on. Isn't that right?
I am relying on 251.80.
All right.
But the Constitution, Section C, does say what it says it says. What I say it says.
Section C addresses what the legislature is going to continue to try to implement by statutory scheme.
I believe that's B.
Yes, sir. And then what I'm concerned about is that we have two statutes that the legislature's passed. We've got 251.80 and we've got 501.155. And I'm understanding your position that 501.155 is a more general statute and it's more specific in the alcoholic beverage code you control.
Okay.
But I'm having difficulty getting around the language that is so specific in 501.155 that it is valid and binding for all purposes on all courts. I mean, we're a court. We have to get around that language to get to your position.
The same way that the Court of Appeals and all, I apologize.
I'm having difficulty getting around it.
Well, the same way the Court of Appeals did in the Austin Court of Appeals did in Patton, in the Patton case, which involved an election that had occurred 17 or 18 years before it was challenged. And there was a statute of repose that is almost exactly like the statute here. The Court of Appeals didn't have any trouble saying that the law requires that if you're going to change the status, you have to go to the original precinct to do that. That wasn't done in that case. It held the election in the wrong territory.
And just a few election boxes out in the county part of Travis County in the Patton case.
Well, it's the same concept in my view because in the Patton case, they held the election in the wrong territory. In this case, they held the election in the wrong territory. What the appellant tries to do is combine those by saying, yes, but this is a JP precinct, and you can hold elections in JP precincts. I agree you can hold an election in JCP precinct. What you can't do is hold an election to change the local option status of a territory when the Constitution says you had to have had it in the original territory first. You have to go back to the original territory.
The last vote being a vote for dry in your position, the last vote being a vote for dry in the old precincts 3 and 6, trumps the second election that was not contested in 2005 by having it held in just precinct 2 that didn't go back to the specific geographical areas of the old precinct.
That's right, because you have to read the statute of repose with 251.80. And the only way you can read those together and get a constitutional result is to go back, as whatever election occurs after 255 has to go back to the original precinct. When you read 251.80, it clearly requires to go back to the original precinct. To do what the appellant asks you to do is to have an unconstitutional interpretation of 251.80. And so the code.
Where is this in the record? You said it was in the record.
It's attached to my petition. And it's also, and I can give you the site on the record. I don't have it in front of me.
I thought you meant it was on your brief. I didn't see it on the brief.
I thought I had it in the brief, but it's in the record.
All right. And what I want you to help me understand.
Yes, sir.
What is the proper territory for there to have been an election in 2005? Where is it?
The proper territory should...
identified in some way, and was it presented to the trial court in 2009 case?
Yes, the 2009 election, we showed the proper territory, and so did the county. And it was the original territory, the original precinct, where the vote was occurred in 1894 and 1901 to vote dry. Am I answering your question?
Yes, sir, thank you. And that's what you're saying is shown by this exhibit.
Yes, sir. If I can, maybe I'm not being clear about my exhibit, so let me do that.
I'm looking at what you list as Historic Justice Precinct 3 and Historic Justice Precinct 6.
Okay.
That is overlaid in part by what is the present Justice Precinct 2.
So Precinct 2 includes part of old Precinct 3 and 6. The red hatch is current Precinct 2. So it goes in areas other than 3 and 6. 3 and 6 are in purple and yellow. So you can tell which precinct areas were not included in the 2009 election. That clearly is a violation of the Constitution, the Attorney General's opinion,
I'm
and 251A.
The 2009 part. What I'm having trouble with is the 2005 part.
Okay. In Patton, to go back to Patton for a second,
yes,
it had the same statute of repose, almost exactly the same words in the statute of repose. It said you can't contest it. It's all over. 18 years passes, and somebody contested. And they said, the court said, this election was held in the wrong territory. The Constitution requires it be held in the original precinct boundaries. It wasn't done, and the statute of repose was to address irregularities in the election process. Okay. And they held that gentleman got his, in that case, he got his permit, because the election that was improper, held in the wrong territory, went dry.
Thank you, sir.
Let me change horses just for a moment. A motion to disqualify Judge Collier is filed.
Yes, sir.
And does he acknowledge it, or is a judge assigned to hear it?
A judge was assigned to hear the case.
That's Judge Collier.
Yes, sir.
Okay, so Judge Collier can rule on the motion to disqualify. Was Judge Cosby also appointed to hear portions of the case by Judge Walker?
Yes.
All right, so he functioned in a dual capacity?
Yes, sir.
All right, that answers my question.
Judge, in the Patton case, the court held, and this goes back to your questions that you've been asking, the court held in Patton, we concede that the old justice precinct in which the local option adopted no longer exists as a justice precinct for judicial purposes. But it does exist for the purpose of local option. This statute, that status was engrafted on it while it was a justice precinct and will continue until it is repealed by the voters of that territory. Now, maybe I didn't say it well. The Court of Appeals in Austin said it very well. That status of original precinct is engrafted on it for the purpose of the local status. And if you don't comply with that, the election is invalid. The 2009 election was properly objected to, and it's invalid.
Several points. I think the appellee has now basically taken two positions simultaneously. One is that yes, the local option status in Precinct 2 is sale of beer and wine, and I can't do anything about that. But for purposes of coming in to challenge the 2009 election, the local option status in Precinct 2 isn't the sale of beer and wine. It's whatever it was in the various historical precincts. I don't know how you can come to that conclusion. It either is or isn't a legally binding local option status pursuant to the 2005 election. I think Council's all but conceded that, in fact, that is the local option status. And if you had to go back and try to figure out what he's asking you, it's not as simple as the 2, 3, and 6 old precincts. If the court looks at D, Exhibit D on our brief, which came from the county, there are some 10 or 12 elections with various lines overlapping each other since those elections that he's pointing back to. It's spaghetti at this point to try to figure out how to go back unless you do what the statute commands, which is says give binding effect to the 2005 election. It has to be given it. And I think Justice Meyer correctly pointed out, this idea that you have to go back to the old territory is not a constitutional mandate. What the Constitution says is the legislature shall enact these laws on how to hold local option elections. And as counsel pointed out, when they came out with 251.80, there was actually a challenge to, can you do this? You're asking us to hold an election in a historical precinct instead of a current precinct when the Constitution talks about political subdivisions. And the Attorney General said, well, because that was the case law interpretation before and the Constitution doesn't prohibit it, the Constitution's broad enough to allow that. But it also said, oh, by the way, Constitution broad enough to allow whatever basically the legislature wants to do about that. So we got to look to what the legislature did. And the legislature has said 501.155 is as far as you need to go here because it clearly says everything from 2005 to the present is now the local option status. If you're going to change it, you've got to go back there. Very briefly, just to go back to the patent case one more time, again, that was not a fact situation like this. As a matter of fact, there is no case that's been cited by the appellee where there is an intervening election that has been validated by lack of a contest. There simply is not one. What you had in patent was a substantial evidence review on whether or not the county could properly deny this gentleman his liquor license. And in this 2-to-1 split, they said, yes, he should have gotten his license here because that election wasn't held the proper way, but not because of these boundary issues of the precinct, because they held an election in something that wasn't at that time and never was a political subdivision of the state. It was some ballot boxes. And they said that's not authorized at all by the Constitution, and therefore we don't have to worry about whether or not it was contested under the enabling statutes pursuant to the Constitution. We've got a very different case here. And I submit, even there, as I pointed out in my opening, there'd be a real question under Kimmins whether this court would reach the same conclusion. Because in Kimmins, we had a very analogous situation. There wasn't 5,000 voters in the city of Azle, was the allegation. So you couldn't have a home rule under the Constitution. And this court said, well, that ship has sailed. Nobody contested that election. You can't now, in the annexation proceeding, collaterally attack it. And that's what this is about. Correct.
They don't deal with the kind of liquor, the way the package will be put together for what kind of liquor is being authorized to be sold. That's all statutory.
Correct.
And so in the constitutional provision, where we're talking with wet dry, it's your position and the county's position that the 2005 election changed the status of even the parts of 3 and 6 that were in Precinct 2 from a dry to a wet.
That's correct, Your Honor.
Total
that's the sum total. And once that election is presumed conclusively to be valid, we think that answers the rest of the case.
Then you go from 205 Precinct 2 to any future election being 2009 Precinct 2.
Correct.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. Counsel, thank you very much for your arguments here today. A very interesting case. They were very helpful to the court. We appreciate you driving down from Benton, and your case is submitted.
Thank you, Your Honor.